Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says a more virulent and deadlier form of mpox found in the Democratic Republic of Congo, clade 1B, is spreading beyond its borders. Over 4,200 cases have been recorded in 10 African nations, including Kenya, Rwanda, South Africa, and Nigeria. The Democratic Republic of Congo has experienced the worst of the outbreak of mpox, formerly known as monkeypox. More than 12,000 people have been diagnosed in the country, and at least 470 people have died. Mpox is a virus that causes fevers, headaches, and muscle aches, as well as painful boils on the skin. Joining us for more insight via phone from Lagos, Nigeria, is Professor Sunday Aremu Omilabu. Professor Omilabu is, among other things, a professor of medical virology at the University of Lagos, director of the Central Research Laboratory, and adjunct professor, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. He is also a member of the African Virology Network. Professor Omilabu, welcome to the show. All right, we are going to have Professor Omilabu in a few seconds. We have some... Okay, I think we have him now. We were having some technical difficulties. Professor Omilabu, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic. Again, thank you for joining us today. So, Africa is experiencing an outbreak of mpox. In some countries, they have reported cases of the disease. Can you provide an overview of the current situation and talk to us about how things are faring in Nigeria in particular?
Thank you for having me. Yes, for the past since 2017, we've been having cases of mpox in Nigeria as well as other African countries. Notably, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in the Central African Republic, in Cameroon, in Ghana, Nigeria, Liberia, Rwanda, and a host of other African countries, including Morocco, Egypt, and others. And since 2017 that Nigeria reported it, it's been gradually spreading. Even in Nigeria, it has spread from states that never reported, from Kant, over 30 states have actually reported, at least it confirmed the case of mpox in Nigeria.
So,
go ahead, please.
How concerning, how much of what we are seeing now should we be concerned with? Because when we look at what is happening, the cross-border contamination, transmission, to what extent is this a cause for concern?
Yeah, it's so worrisome. In 2022, there was a huge explosion of mpox in Europe and the United States, or say in the Americas, as well as in the East in Asia too, and shows that it's not only limited to African countries, which was the usual belief. So it shows that the virus crossed border easily. And then, of course, thank goodness, most of these cases reported outside Africa. Only a few of them have a genetic link with African strains. But at least we know this disease can be transmitted between borders. And of course, if you're looking at African countries, you see the countries that surround the Democratic Republic of Congo usually get spillover from DRC. And as we've seen in the cases reported even this year, you see South Africa, you see Central African Republic, Cameroon, all of them have reported cases, but not as much as the DRC, which seems to be the epicenter of mpox in Africa. So it's a big concern.
So, Professor, take us back to the very basics, right? Help us understand what mpox is. Of course, it used to be called monkeypox. We see in pictures that people who have it have some kind of boil and pimples on their skin. But help us understand, what is the origin of mpox? How is it transmitted?
Thank you very much. The disease was first described in monkeys that were exported to Denmark. Two monkeys, to be precise, in zoological park in Denmark in 1958. That was the first discovery of the disease. And come back to 1970, the first human case was reported from DRC in a 9-year-old boy. And since then, we've been having cases. And mpox, as WHO designated it in a year or two ago, is actually a member of pox viruses because of the wild smallpox of the 80s, which had been exterminated. They belong to the same family called Poxviridae and belong to the same genus, Orthopox virus. And in terms of severity, the variola that causes smallpox is more lethal than mpox. But since the elimination of elimination of smallpox, mm-hmm. mpox has now assumed the role of the severe causing of skin eruptions in humans as well as in animals. Animals is known to be the natural host of this virus. And those animals incriminated include the rodents, the squirrels, the tree squirrels and land squirrels, the giant rats, Gambian pouch giant rats, as well as a number of mice. These are the natural hosts. And non-human primates are known to be infected. And of course, human beings can be infected too, especially when there is close contact with these infected animals. And by way of history, in 1971, Nigeria reported human cases. There were two reported cases of a female child, 4 years old, as well as her mother. So they both contracted the virus. And of course, in 1978, too, there was another human case in Nigeria. And ever since then, we've not been having reported or documented cases. Not that the virus has not been there, but there hasn't been active surveillance. And of course, once you don't look for it, you don't find it.
Okay.
And came back to 2017, then we had the reported outbreak of mpox in Nigeria. And since then, it has been raging. It has never stopped up till 2024. There is never a year mpox case was not reported in Nigeria.
So you're making a point here that is raising my curiosity. You say that Nigeria reported it in 2017, and it has never stopped, which is very interesting. When it comes to the outbreak control, what has been done to help Nigeria, and to what extent is the Nigerian outbreak perhaps the origin or the basis for what we're seeing now? Because right now they're saying that what is spreading is coming from the DRC, yet you're telling us that in Nigeria it has never stopped since 2017. How do we reconcile this?
Thank you very much. The virus causing the mpox, they are classified into two different clades. The West African clades, which affect all the countries in West Africa, including Nigeria, as well as the Congo Basin clade, which is found in the DRC, and the adjoining countries within the that region of the continent. So the DRC clade is known to be very lethal. It's more lethal than the West African clade, which are WHO now designated as clade 1 and clade 2. And even so, you have variants of the clade. But it is important to note that not only Nigeria, a number of African countries have been reporting cases of take for instance, between 2022 and 2024, July 28 to be precise, 15 countries reported cases. But the bulk of these cases were from DRC. Over 15,000 cases were reported from DRC. Out of over 37,000 cases reported from 15 African countries. And that's just to tell you that the case is increasing by the day. We have been cases in the whole of Africa. If it is not being reported, that show is not being stumbled upon. Not that it's not there. That's what I'm trying to establish. Not only in Nigeria alone. It happens in other African countries, as reported by the African CDC.
Absolutely. Over. So what is being done to help patients? Because as of now, there's no treatment.
Let me quickly state that.
Okay.
Health education has really helped. Before, in Nigeria, there weren't enough reports of the mpox cases because people are not having information about the mpox circulation. So there is a lot of health education, and of course, they've now increased case search, and of course, the hospital staffs are now trained to recognize what is mpox. And once they are recognized, then they establish a barrier nursing. And then, of course, people have been in that they should be wearing PPE to protect themselves. That's talking about the health caregivers. And, of course, because we know that there is no vaccine yet approved, there is no drug yet approved, so people must try to maintain a close barrier from the cases while handling patients. They should make sure that they are protected. And then, of course, people that are fond of playing with animals, they've been advised not to move closer to animals, especially wild animals, because these are the natural hosts. So all these have been efforts put in place to.
So, Professor, how much of, you talk about people handling animals. We've seen in the case of Ebola that part of the problem were some cultural practices. People will eat bushmeat, or some burial ceremonies were also contributing to spreading the outbreak. When it comes to mpox, how much of people's habit is contributing to the spread of this disease? It's a zoonotic disease, and people are in contact with animals, whether it's as a daily habit or maybe to eat them, you know, with bushmeat.
That's a common practice in the continent, in African continent. It's a common practice. And most of the cases actually erupt from the rural settings, where we have a lot of bushes, and of course, the people there, they are so poor. So, for their source of proteins, they have to look for these animals. And of course, because there isn't much diagnostics, so the people don't know that they are having infectious disease they are harboring. And of course, once this come to the urban setting, because of the availability of diagnostics, these are quickly detected. And of course, measures are now put in place to control its spread. But originally, the transmission of the virus is usually from the rural setting. Even in Nigeria, most rural settings are the sources of the initial infection.
So before we let you go, I wanted you to talk to us about what lessons have been learned from the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, because we saw the transmission, cross-border transmission, and with what we're seeing now and the fact that also this is a zoonotic disease, just like Ebola, what lessons learned are guiding the response strategy?
Thank you very much. The lesson learned, first of all, is the IHR regulations that all countries of the world, international health regulations, are rolling out how to make sure that we don't allow all these infectious pathogens to spread, even within the country, talk less of crossing the borders. So that one is learned through Ebola. And of course, because of the Ebola havoc, most countries in Africa, they now imbibe that culture of putting in place surveillance, even though it's not satisfactory yet, but there is surveillance. And of course, it's through surveillance that we have cases of mpox around us. And that's why more cases have been detected. It's through the activities of the surveillance group. And of course, there are laboratories that are established that can promptly detect the presence of mpox in suspected cases. And this has paid very well in terms of cases discovered. And that's why we are able to now talk of numbers of cases, number of deaths, and so on. That's a result of prompt detection of the virus among cases. And of course, we've been, because I said in Nigeria, since 2017, to just drive my point home, is because of the active surveillance. That's why they've been detecting cases up till 2024. And okay, that shows that people have a lot of information guiding their relationship with their animals. And of course, there are a lot of efforts putting in place in terms of carrying out research. People are trying to now collaborate with colleagues outside Africa, trying to look at possible development of a vaccine as well as antiviral drugs that would actually take care of this disease outbreak. Over.
Professor Omilabu, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and all the insights that you shared with us on the mpox outbreak.
It's my pleasure, my sister.
That was Professor Sunday Aremu Omilabu, Professor of Medical Virology at the University of Lagos, Nigeria. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. World Breastfeeding Week is held in the first week of August every year. It is a global campaign to raise awareness and galvanize action on issues related to breastfeeding. The theme for 2024 is Closing the Gap, breastfeeding support for all. Experts say breastfeeding is a vital part of providing every child with the healthiest start in life. According to the Global Breastfeeding Collective, governments can take 7 actions to drive progress on breastfeeding, including increased funding, improved access to skilled breastfeeding counseling in health facilities, adopt and monitor the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. Now let's go to Uganda, where a community of breastfeeding women is helping mothers who are struggling not to just feed their newborn babies, but to keep them alive. Halima Atumani and Mukasa Francis report from Uganda's capital, Kampala.
In March, complications with Mbabazi Rusty's pregnancy led doctors to perform an emergency cesarean section and deliver her child at 36 weeks, about a month early. Rusty then suffered a cardiac arrest and was placed on life support. During recovery, she could not breastfeed her baby, and so the hospital was substituting formula.
He was given powdered milk, but unfortunately, he faced a condition called NEC stage 1, whereby he wouldn't digest the powdered milk well.
Rusty reached out to the Atta breast milk community, and the baby started getting breast milk from a donor. Rachel Akujiziwe is the administrator at Atta Breast Milk Community. She says the organization was started in 2021 by a mother whose recently born child passed away.
Because she had a supply, she asked the doctors, where do I put the milk? And they told her, all we can do for you is to give you a tablet to dry it up. She's like, but you see, I needed it. I mean, there should be a mother or so, a baby who needs the breast milk.
The breast milk is from mothers who have babies between 0 to 6 months old. But it's not easy to become a donor. Akujiziwe says donating mothers can't be on drugs and must undergo blood tests.
The blood work that we do, we check for HIV, we check for hepatitis, we check for syphilis, we check for CMV. They are screened before they start donating, you know, this milk.
Sadia Hussein Mulangwa is a mother of two and found her body was producing more milk than her babies needed. That is how she learned about the breast milk community and says she is a committed donor.
The fulfillment that I will get from this, knowing that I'm saving a life somewhere or giving better health or just a better living to a helpless child, I'm like, what bigger sadaka is there than that, really?
The Atta Breast Milk Community says they have helped over 500 babies over the past 3 years, providing 800 liters of milk from close to 150 donors. Halima Athmani, VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1 202-258-3076.
The Nigerian government has embarked on a mass vaccination campaign to prevent cervical cancer in millions of girls. Mark Mbonye has the story.
The World Health Organization says cervical cancer is the second most frequent type of cancer for women in Nigeria and is the second leading cause of cancer deaths for them. A recent Nigerian government report said there are 12,000 new cases of cervical cancer a year, and it causes 8,000 deaths annually. Worried by the report, the government says it has introduced the human papilloma virus vaccine, or HPV vaccine, into its immunization schedule. Dr. Garba Ahmed Rufai is the director of disease control and immunization at the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency.
The country introduced human papillomavirus vaccine across the country. It was introduced in two phases, and currently we've been able to reach over 12 million young girls, 9 to 14 years. And we have fully routinized this vaccine.
The human papillomavirus, which is transmitted through skin to skin and sexual contact, is linked to cervical cancer, genital warts in both men and women, and other types of genital cancer. Rufai says the agency partnered with some government agencies and ministries to overcome challenges during the immunization exercise.
It was a very challenging experience for us in the sense that we saw things. We did have to go through some challenges that we did not envisage at the beginning. Most important to mention here is the story around anti-vaxxers, and which led to hesitancy in the different states at different levels. But due to the resilience of the health team in the different states, with various levels of sensitization and mobilization, and also engagements of all the relevant ministries.
He says the Global Alliance for Vaccines assisted the Nigerian government with the vaccines. Rufai also says women 35 years and above will be screened annually for cancerous growths. The Nigerian government called on parents to allow their children to get the vaccine. It is free and available at all health centers.
Vaccines are safe, vaccines are effective. We do not hear of smallpox today because of vaccines. For those of us who were around during the smallpox era, we know that it was vaccines that helped us to eradicate smallpox. We have other vaccine preventable diseases that are out there. We have polio, we have meningitis, we have measles, we have hepatitis. And it's always best that when the children are young and in that age group, they get these vaccines.
Alex Chimbaru, the WHO representative in Nigeria, says the introduction of the HPV vaccine is a bold life-saving step. He says the vaccine is a good investment to protect the future of girls in keeping with the objectives of the National Study Plan on Prevention and Control of Cervical Cancer. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
That is all for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Dr. Sunday Aremu Omilabu, Professor of Medical Virology at the University of Lagos. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lino Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mukbilia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.